Back from the weekend, it was a big one, full of sport.
Sure was. And we got Josh Masood to explain the whole Tim Simona gambling drugs. What else did he do?
It was all over a pair of fake boobs that he didn't pay for. It's quite an incredible story. Robin, you caught up with Jonathan Thurston. I think the only interview I heard him do. Well done to that.
Yeah, mind you do have to compete with the background of Brisbane Airport.
That's
where I was. Also, eating pets. Man, I never thought so many people would ring up about eating their pets.
You're starting to learn more about the people that have joined, that hang out with us in the mornings, you know, and that's why we like
pet eaters.
Not afraid to ring up and say that they ate a pet, and I like that about them.
No, not just beef or pork or anything like that. They were like actual pets.
Goats.
With names.
They had names.
And souls and hearts. Anyway, nice enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about becoming a vegan.
No, you're not.
Come on, mate.
Good try. None of them believed you.
You've got a house guest at the moment, Marta.
More than a house guest. Anyone who listens will realise daughter drove her to Sydney a few weeks ago. She's gone. So there's one out, one in.
Oh.
Got one of Harry's mates. He's an apprentice electrician. Actually, it's a funny old house, Ed. They get home in the arvo. They've got their high vis. This is my son, Harry, and his mate, Archie. Archie lives downstairs. We've got a spare room. We've always got someone in that room, you know. Anyway, so they get home and they're high vis. He gets home. Harry gets home from landscaping. They meet up. Sometimes they go to the gym or they'll go to footy training. They both play footy together. And
the
all
brother
that.
He never had.
It is like that. It's really weird. Cool. All right, so we're supposed to have designated nights of who cooks what night sort of thing. You know, there's Kath, myself, my wife, Kath and I, and Harry and Archie, just four of us living at home.
Poor Kath.
The other night, Archie's from the bush. Oh, yeah, I know, poor Kath. I know, but she's missing a daughter, but she's also glad to see Harry sort of have a brother. All right. Nice. Now, Archie comes from out west. Okay. Now, he came home. He went out for a friend's 18th, about a week or so. Yeah, last weekend. So he brought some meat home. He's got a big cattle property and they've got pigs and stuff. We went out and visited them just after Christmas. They're out near Roma, all right?
Yeah.
Mm. And we were feeding the pigs and the chooks, you know, doing all the stuff you do on the farm, and the ducks, looking after everything. Had a great time for a few days. So Archie pulls out this roast the other night. So he brought it home with him. He said, I'll cook roast, righto. So we're cooking it. Well, he cooked it up, you know, brought it out, did a good job with it. We're eating it the other night, and Kath says, hold on, this isn't one of those pigs that I was feeding while I was out there, is it?
No.
Archie went, yeah, I won't go through the whole story. But quite simply, he told the story about he had to actually...
slaughter it.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they got a butcher in to carve it up, but he had to kill the pet and then brought
the
it
pet.
Down. We were sitting down. Well, it had a name. I was under the belief that what they do out there, you don't eat if it's
your pets.
Yeah, you swap it with the neighbours because you don't want to eat, you know, Brenda pets. And we don't want to eat Steve.
I would really struggle to eat Brenda or Steve if I'd met them when they were breathing. I'd just say that
the other
out loud.
Night, so we're eating, and Kath goes, so I met this pig that we are now eating. And Archie went, yeah. From the yard. Is this a normal thing?
Yeah. What, eating pets?
I just want to know. Well, like, I know you wouldn't eat your budgerigar, or would you?
You might eat your chook.
Oh, that's right, if you've had a chook.
Does anyone else still do this in Brisbane?
What, at some point, someone would have eaten a
goat.
Yep, a goat.
A well, if you've got the goat to keep the grass down somewhere, is it possible?
Turkeys? Do people have pet turkeys? You could eat them at Christmas time?
Delicious.
I couldn't eat a pet.
Don't speculate. Okay. Did you eat your pet?
That's the question, is it? For a Monday?
Well,
nice
it'll just
early.
Be interesting to see whether this is going on very much.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to call these people our listeners. Marta, who have we got?
We've got Adam from Redlands. Adam, tell us the situation. What sort of pet was it?
Long time listener, first time caller.
Welcome aboard, Adam.
And Robin, I've been listening to you for all my life, so thank you. And Ed, you're awesome. Marta, you're awesome. I eat my chook.
You eat your chooks?
Whack them on there's plenty of ways of doing it. You're not supposed to name them if you're going to eat them, but my roommate won't even have a bar of it. She won't even eat the eggs that come out of the bum.
And, what? That's a bit, Adam, that's a bit far. I won't eat the eggs. Where does she think the other eggs that she buys from the supermarket come from?
Good question, mate, good question. But I'll have the chicken in there raw with no feathers on it, and she'll open the fridge and she'll scream and have a fit. And the
Adam,
eggs,
Adam, are you on a farm down at Redlands?
No, mate, just got a bit of land, a bit of property, and you're able to have, in the commercial unit, you're able to have, like, six chickens, so... That's I'm looking at them right now, but there's plenty of ways you can grab them by the neck and twist them, and their whole body just flies off.
Okay, cool.
Grab them by.
All right, hold on.
No, 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 I don't.
Be graphic.
I know that. But thanks, Adam.
We should
if
have
I
known
ever
that's
need
where to
go.
Yeah.
Do that, I'll
How
call
do you.
How
do you know what happens? Oh, we could have. We better not go back
no,
to
I
Adam.
Don't. No,
Adam's
I love
but
Adam.
The eggs
I
don't
love
come
Adam.
Out the bum, do they?
What?
A cloaca.
No.
They come out of a cloaca, my friend, which is an all-purpose organ. Adam gave us a key. Adam's first key piece of information. I love Adam, by the way. Adam's first key piece of information is that you don't. The game is you don't name them if you're planning to eat them.
Right.
Great thing to live by.
Who have we got there, Robin?
It's Samuel of Moray Fields.
Hey, come on, pep up.
Okay, sorry, Sam. Sam, do you eat your pets, and if so, what is it?
Hey guys, we ate our pets. My grandparents when we were little, and that had a started off. They brought a little piglet, and it grew up, and we were very fond of it. And we called him Frankie.
Oh no!
And we ended up shoving him on the barbecue for a big feed up. We didn't realise that we were eating Frankie until. Eh? Couple of days later, we realised he was missing. We were absolutely petrified, apparently.
What, because you'd eaten him and then he might come back and haunt you or something and you'll start... Why were you petrified?
Nah, scared.
I think I was around about 10 or 11 years old at the time, and my younger brother and my older sister, and we loved that little thing.
Yeah.
We loved, absolutely loved that little thing. And then, they told us that he went on a vacation and,
went to the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frankie.
Hang on. Oh, well. Samuel, he was delicious, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Beautiful. Never coming back.
Okay, thanks,
we got time for another couple, have we?
Al of Walton.
Hey, Al.
Oh, g'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, what was the pet, mate?
Wonderful.
It was beef cattle. It was, and they named it Blackjack. It was my in-laws.
It's always in-laws or grandparents.
And was he how beloved was this the cow Blackjack before?
He was pretty beloved. He was there for a while.
Did you used to pat him and talk to him?
Yeah, feed him. It's a bit weird when you're having some rissoles and they go, "Jeff, Blackjack tastes pretty good."
Oh my god!
That's why you can't name them.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful story, Al.
I don't think I could keep the food down if that happened. All right.
More. Thanks, Al.
Leslie of Regent's Park.
No, come on.
Okay, I'm just...
Bidey.
I just have this image in my head of this cute little cow, it's done. Yeah. Okay, Leslie of Regent's Park.
It wasn't your cow. It was Al's. Leslie.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, what happened?
My brother brought a little lamb home to my parents, and they gave me the job of looking after it, so I fed it, took it down to the school and let it eat grass. Yeah. Right through till Christmas Day, about a week before Christmas Day, they killed it on me.
Oh.
And ate it.
Did it have a name?
Yeah, Christmas dinner.
Well, you were warned, I guess.
Well, yeah, but I didn't want it. I didn't eat it. I couldn't eat it.
No, you didn't have to see it being killed or anything, did you?
Oh, yes, I did. I come home and it was hanging up.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
That was the worst part.
Yeah, okay. Christmas isn't a fond memory for you, is it, Leslie?
Oh, that's great. You put out a call, so does anyone eat a pet goat? And luckily, Jonathan from Stafford, he's answered the call. G'day, Johnny. When did you eat a pet goat?
Morning, Marto, Ed and Robin. How are you going?
Good mate.
This is... it was about 1982, in fact. We'd been down, we had a pet goat called Aloysius that was like a pet dog.
Lovely.
Followed us everywhere. Mm. Bit like Cass last night eating the pig.
Mm.
We shot a twig when Dad castrated it, and that was the first sign, I suppose, with my granddad. Then went down to the Commonwealth Games, came back where the chain used to be. There was a big patch of blood on the lawn. Anyway, we come down. He's hanging up down the shed.
Oh no!
My brothers ran away down the paddock with a can of baked beans to live on for a couple of days. Anyway, a couple of days later, we're having a lamb roast. And we finished dinner, and Dad goes, "Oh, how was that? That was a good roast, wasn't it?" He said, "Yeah, that was unreal." And he goes, "Oh, that was actually Aloysius." And myself being the youngest and the monster of the family, my reply was, "Well." Thanks, Dad. Aloysius, just so delicious.
Oh,
well
olive round.
Bit of a rhymer.
What do you do? He was gone.
Oh, yeah. How was the baked bean brother? Was he out of the paddock by then?
Oh, no, I think they'd have come out of the paddock by then, but it's pretty hard to open a can of baked beans cooked on an open fire with no tools. Yeah. So I think they came back pretty quickly.
Oh, too good, mate.
Thank you, Jonathan.
No dramas, guys.
You go, Marta. You happy?
Yeah. We can't get a rabbit because they're illegal in Queensland, except if you're a magician.
A magician?
If you're a magician, you can keep a rabbit.
Nice little loophole.
So we won't have any rabbit. Hey, Laura's. Hey, Laura from Runcorn.
Yep.
All right. What animal, what pet was it?
It wasn't me. It was my dad. When he was a kid, they had chickens and they loved the Brady Bunch, so they named them after the Brady Bunch. Oh, and then one day they ate the Brady Bunch and now my dad doesn't eat chicken anymore.
What, they just picked off Peter and
Greg,
Marsha?
Peter, Bobby, Marsha, Jan, Cindy. that's unfortunate. So thanks, Laura.
Alice.
Sonny Tiger
Alice.
The dog.
Remember Alice?
What was her boyfriend's name?
Oh,
the Butcher.
Sam the Butcher.
Sam the Butcher.
Sam the Butcher. Wow. We could go all that. Have we got any more? Anyone else, Ed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sonny from Cannon Hill.
Yeah.
Now, you asked for it, Marto. Ask and you shall receive.
Oh,
Sonny, what was the pet that was eaten?
Well, it wasn't actually somebody's pet, but it was at my best friend's wedding, and they had little fish bowls of goldfish on the bridal table.
Yeah.
And so there was an old fella there that's a bit of a prankster, and he cut up a bit of carrot in the shape of a goldfish, and he's gathered us around and shoved his hand in the bowl and, you know, to make it look like he's grabbed a goldfish, and then he's eating this bit of carrot.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I got a mate that, you know, wasn't to be wound up by anybody, and he's seen that and shoved his hand in the fish bowl and actually grabbed a goldfish and shoved it in his gob and down it went.
See, that's different. When we said, when have you done some stunt eating, that's when we needed you to call. Yeah. But this is pet
that's
eating
shocking.
This morning.
That's fantastic.
I really want to know what happened at the end, but I'm guessing it didn't survive the journey.
No.
Oh.
No, he said he could feel it like moving as it was going down.
That's
Sonny's enjoying this story a little bit too much.
Good on you, Sonny. That's fantastic. There you go. We have to do this another day because plenty of people have gone the pet. They've
I don't
gone
know.
The pet
stunt
eating
would be kind of fun too.
Well, we're happy to go stunt eating.
Ed's done the first page of McDonald's. No, is that you? Yeah. Oh, we'll talk about that another day.
Tim Simona is the name of the West Tigers, or now former West Tigers, an NRL player that, as the story gets more detailed, more and more, I guess you'd call them offences, have come to light. Here's a vague list of the things that Tim's alleged to have done that I heard on Channel 9 yesterday.
Simona has admitted to placing a total of 65 bets on NRL games. He only had one successful bet, however. He also admitted to lying to the NRL Integrity Unit, who only found him guilty after his ex-girlfriend blew the whistle. Simona also confessed to selling up to a dozen jerseys for charity, but he kept the money for himself. And perhaps most explosively, Simona revealed he'd become a regular user of cocaine, but was never caught despite regular NRL drug testing.
Best
quite the list
of his career. What a list. That's quite amazing. Can we go through it? Because it is a massive story in rugby league. Speaker Josh Masood, Channel 7 Chief Rugby League Reporter. Josh, should somebody have known about this double life he was leading?
Oh, it's easy to say that, but a lot of them are leading a double life. I mean, look at Kieran Foran. He was like the angel that everyone thought had blessed rugby league last year, and he had all these demons lurking beneath the surface. So, look, I think it's a bit unfair for people in hindsight who themselves had no idea this was happening to jump up and down and expect clubs to be parents, guardians and loved ones.
So has this ultimately come about because of a jilted ex-lover?
Yeah, it definitely came to the surface. Because of that, obviously, it doesn't take Einstein to guess what Tim Simona might have done to set her off.
Oh, right. Okay.
She put a Facebook post up on social media in August that had screenshots of text message conversations between them detailing some of the bets. Someone from West Tigers actually noticed that and alerted the NRL. And at that point, that's when Tim actually lied to the NRL about it. Right. And it wasn't until his ex-partner went to the NRL with all the messages, all the details, that this really got underway.
What about Ed was trying to tell me before, Josh, is it true that she wanted her breast done? He said no, and that's why she started to unveil a few things?
Well, that might have been why, but, you know, Tim Simona, I don't know, not many men probably would have knocked back an offer like that, I'm not sure. But
that's very interesting.
He's obviously got unique taste, but, that was one of the requests, but he said no, and I think more to what I was referring to before. I think it was a personal matter in which she was rather disappointed with his choices.
Okay. Now the bets, Josh Masu, Channel 7 Chief Rugby League reporter. The bets that he's placed on the NRL. So is it true that some of them were against his own team?
Oh yeah, absolutely. A lot of them were in the same match. He'd often bet against his own team and also on opposition players. Scored tries, one of whom he was actually marking on that afternoon against St. George Illawarra. So in some of the text messages, he actually talks to his girlfriend about the potential to let in a try. However, the NRL forensically looked through all the videos of the games in which the bets were placed, and they found that he didn't alter his behaviour.
Ah, but did I just hear in that report 65 bets only had one win?
Yeah, don't take him to the races during the autumn carnival, whatever you do. he's not very successful.
No.
He actually bet on himself on that occasion. I think he finally managed to get the first try. I think he got about 180 back and bet about 900. So it's a real lose-lose. If you're going to do this, do it properly to win a lot of money.
Yeah.
Don't sort of do it half-assed.
But Josh, how is it able that such a high-profile player can admit to having cocaine use, and also, from what I understood, saying that there were other players?
You're talking about Andrew Johns here?
Well, I mean,
for 10 years.
How's that
cocaine.
Okay? I still don't get it. Why are we still having the conversation then?
Well, I mean, look at it in general society. How many people are getting away with drug use, robberies, like all sorts of things that are going on. The NRL have only very limited powers to search, to seize, to test. And we might know either what players have been caught because they get a first strike where it doesn't go public. But we don't know. That only remains in the domain with the club doctor and the CEO of the club. So for all we know, Tim Simona might have had a strike against his name. We just didn't know it. But it's very difficult to police these things. Again, these players aren't parents and these clubs aren't parents and guardians.
Now, just remind me, it was 36-2 yesterday, Penrith versus Tigers. Is this knocking the whole club around fairly badly?
Well, I'll tell you what would have knocked the whole club around. Would have been Tim Simona coming out and saying, I first tried cocaine on a Mad Monday harbour cruise with my teammate.
Yep. Yeah.
And there were six or seven other blokes in the toilet doing it with me.
Mm.
He's throwing a lot of them under the bus on the day that they had a very important game. I'll tell you the other thing is them signing jerseys and then him selling them for charity for personal gain. How do you think his teammates would feel about that? Yeah, I think they were fairly knocked around by this.
Josh Masu, Channel 7 Chief Rugby League reporter. We'll follow you for the latest on the Tim Simona story. Cheers, appreciate your time, mate. Speak to you soon.
A pleasure, guys. Cheers.
Here's something you've never heard on Triple M before.
It's the Biebs.
What is it?
It's Bieber, Justin Bieber. What do
you
mean?
Is that what he does?
Yeah, that's him. You've heard him sing Sorry and...
That's all I've ever heard.
Love Yourself. Baby.
I watched the
boyfriend.
Doco. He was all right, Ed. I thought on the Doco. Playing a bit of fun. He's a good basketballer.
No, he's... Anyway, so, but on the Today Show and on the Channel 7 show this morning, there are people already camped outside Suncorp for the concert. I don't understand why, though. Why would you be camped out
now? You must get
now?
In first or
the
something.
The mosh pit.
If you're a 15-year-old bloke going, where do I find a chick, head down to Suncorp right now or tonight and you're on. Yeah.
My question would be is why aren't they at school?
Justin Bieber day.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But to get the comparison, because there is one man that has done Adele, Justin Bieber, the State
of Origin.
He did
One Direction. Oh, he's done everything.
We're talking about Dale Hall from Cap Security. Hey, Dale.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Right. Hey. Paulie, we're wondering about crowds. Can you talk us through the different dynamics that you can expect? I remember that night Ed went to One Direction. It was a top
Wonderful.
Evening.
Yeah, well, One Direction was the same sort of thing as what we're going to get tonight, probably with Bieber. I mean, the young girls and probably Dad sitting across the road waiting for the young girls to come back out. And,
where will the dads be? They'll be at...
Oh, they'll be at the Paddo or Newstead Brewing across the road now or up at Ithaca Iceworks up the top there. So.
Okay, enough about the pubs, Hawley. So what with the Bieber crowd, because you've dealt with his concerts before a couple of years ago, what are they? It's not rowdy, is it? What are they like? Is it just screaming and fainting?
Screaming, fainting, all of the above, mate. Compared to Adele, last week we go from different extremes. I mean, you the young kids just get overawed and collapse and faint and see their idol. And I mean, obviously there's about 60 to 80 girls out the front already lined up, ready to go. So, and probably a few high school principals driving past to see who's there. And,
impromptu roll call. What about Friday night? What was that crowd like? 48,000 almost for a club game.
Yeah, Broncos have got a good fan base, and when they play the Cowboys, it's even better. We don't have any issues. We always know which teams are going to be a certain element, especially in rugby league, especially in rugby union. We always know which ones.
Yeah, what are the rowdy games?
Oh, we'd probably West Tigers and Brisbane are up there.
Gambling. Yeah.
Canterbury have their favourites as well. Yeah, I mean, going back about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a car stolen on Parramatta Road, and some guys drove from Parramatta Road up to watch the Canterbury game and just parked it out the front on Wally Lewis's statue.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Okay, so tonight then, what's your biggest issue for security? Like,
just fainting, Robin, making sure first aid's worse, where they are and getting them out of there and stuff like that. They just line up all day and they just don't eat, they don't drink. They get there, they all of a sudden they just get overawed and they just, it gets hot. Yeah, it gets hot in that mosh area. They don't realise it's a heated area once all those bodies get close together and eventually they just dehydrate themselves. So they just don't really know how to look after themselves. That's the biggest thing.
So have they got that matting? So we had a Broncos Friday night, Reds Saturday night. Have they put plastic matting down on the field and they're ready to go?
Yeah, mate, that all went down yesterday. That was pretty much finished by around about the 3 o'clock mark yesterday afternoon, and the stage has gone up and away they went. So, yeah, it's pretty quick timing. Normally it takes around 4 days, and they've knocked us over pretty quick. So, they might be still plugging things in around about 5 to 8, but hey, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
On with the show. You haven't had a streaker for a while, Hawley.
No, you haven't been around, eh?
No, I know you guys are ready for it.
All right.
Just tell me, what's your favourite gig?
Oh, Robin, God, 25 years now. I probably Barnsley Cold Chisel. I did the tour around Australia and stuff. It was probably awesome to do. The hardest one I ever did, believe it or not, was the Wiggles. So around Australia with the Wiggles was probably the hardest gig I've ever had to do. Why? Mate, just people, you know, like kids go missing. The adults just watch the show and stuff. Yeah. The kids wander off.
Is that your worry?
Oh, yeah, mate. We have to find the parents. It's not lost kids, it's lost parents. The parents, we just got to find them. Because obviously the kids can't say what seat they're sitting in, so we've got to run around. And then we'll have people just stole prams and stuff like that, because obviously they go out with a ticket and say, that's my pram there, and end up with a Kmart special. And the Rolls-Royce pram goes out the window, and, people wouldn't pay for merchandising, and you'd have to chase them up and say, mate, you got to pay for merch, and they say no, and... Yeah. I mean, Dorothy's tail's not cheap, mate. It's $30 a tail.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? All right, Dale Hall from Cap Holly. Security. You will see him and his fine guards out there tonight keeping the crowd safe. Speak to you soon, Hawley.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Claire from the newsroom joins us now because barley legal season is on.
Is it like duck hunting?
It is. And there's the case.
It's a thing.
We're starting with the case of Sarah Connor, the Queensland lady who was accused, along with her boyfriend, the British DJ, of being involved in the death of that policeman in Bali. So, Claire, what's the latest on that?
Hard to believe it was 7 months ago, isn't it? Months ago that this all happened. So today we'll finally get a bit of a verdict. So 7 months on, in the exact same courtroom that Schapelle Corby was sentenced to jail back 2005, that was, God. We will now hear today what is going on with this Sarah Connor case, okay? So we'll get a verdict. It should come through this afternoon, this evening, our time.
Whoa. A
policeman died.
A policeman died. So 7 months ago on Kuta Beach, the police officer, his body was found, several wounds, very badly hurt, a broken beer bottle nearby. Now, this Byron Bay woman, Sarah Connor, and her British boyfriend, as you said, his name's David Taylor, they are accused of being involved in it. Now, he's admitted it. He said, yes, that did happen.
In the court case, he said, yes, I did kill him.
He said, yes, did. And actually, the Balinese authorities are looking favourably on him because of that. They're saying, look, he's very honest. He's showing remorse. He said, yes, I did do it, because I believe that this police officer had stolen Sarah's handbag, okay? Oh. Sarah, though, is maintaining her innocence. She says she did not do it. She says that she simply tried to break up a fight between the officer and her boyfriend. She didn't know anything about the death that happened. However, oh, okay. She has offered money to the victim's family, and so the Balinese authorities are saying she's basically playing the game. She's being dodgy. They're saying,
is that good or bad, playing the game?
Well, in terms of Balinese authorities, they're not looking favourably on her for this. They're saying that she's guilty, but she's trying to maintain innocence, so they want her gone for 8 years to jail.
Okay. She's got little kids too, hasn't she?
Two young kids. Her lawyer, who of course is the same lawyer as Chappelle, they're calling.
I was speculating on that.
Same lawyer.
Because that went so well.
They're same lawyer.
Why wouldn't you use him? Wow. I was thinking about if I ever go DD using him. He's a champion.
So he wants her away for 7 months. So we'll find out later today.
Speaking of Chappelle, I saw this on the news last night and my heart leapt with joy.
Really?
The last 3 years, she's been on parole, free but unable to leave Bali. But the end is in sight, running down the clock as she prepares to return home to the Gold Coast in 10 weeks.
10 weeks.
Now, is that in time for the baton relay?
Oh, yes. Local hero.
Yes, yes, it would be. Yeah, definitely.
Nominator.
Definitely, I'm going to be nominating Chappelle because you can nominate for your local hero. And so, Claire, she's coming home.
So she's coming home. So she's serving the final weeks. She walked out of jail 3 years ago, but she's been stuck there living with her brother, going to the beach every day.
She's not stuck. I saw some footage yesterday. She was doing some tricep dips.
And jogging.
And some jogging. And then she was on a little scooter. And I thought, and she was doing some reading on the beach.
Seems
and
awful.
I just...
Yeah. Well, May 27 is the day you can go down to the Gold Coast. She'll be arriving because she'll be deported from Bali, seeing as she has been convicted of the crime. She's done her time. May 27, she'll be deported, sent back here in time for her 40th birthday celebrations in July, guys. You might get invited.
Mm-hmm. What a night.
Is that in July, her 40th?
July is her 40th.
God. Will we get her a bait? What did she do for money over there?
Well,
what's her job?
Initially, she was working at the surf shop. Remember that
Mercedes
started.
That doesn't operate anymore.
That's shut down. So they're saying that she's just living the life off her brother's back at the moment. So that's what happens with siblings.
But she'd be doing a few cashies though. I remember she was a beautician. She'd be doing a few back alley cashies.
Don't say back alley cashies.
You can't say that
about Chappelle.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, she'd be sculpting someone's eyebrows.
You know
right
where
now.
She should have her 40th?
Where
can't
at?
Can't wait.
The Candyman Mansion.
Oh, no. My God. Crazy.
Why do you love her so much, Ed?
What do you mean?
What
she's Australia's sweetheart.
What?
She's a darling.
Why?
She got set up. She's done her time and now she's coming home, the innocent woman she always
the
was.
Injustices.
She's a modern day Ned Kelly.
Mm. So true.
You heard it here first. Arno, Ed and Robin, it's the new Triple M. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy
Tallis. Tallis. Everyone loves Tallis. Here he is, Gordy Tallis, to do his legends and lemons. Let's start with your legends, Gordy. Who are your legends from over the weekend?
The legends are the Cowboys and the Broncos. I think there's six games they played against each other. There's only 14 points separating them. I think four of them have been separated by 1 point. And I was talking to Marto on Friday, and I said that they can't do it again. Ugh. These guys cannot go in. They just can't. Like, there's got to be a scoreline where someone, you know, doesn't turn up and they blow them away by 20 points, but it didn't happen. So I think just the way that they can compete for each other, they respect, they show for each other is unbelievable.
Gordy, was that one of the best things after the game, the hugging and the good nature and feel on the field after they'd been through all of that, they were still magnificent friends?
Well, mate, they carry on, you know. Well, look at the Raiders. They got absolutely pumped by the Sharks. It was a six-day turnaround. They went to Golden Point. There was no talk of... You know, the Cowboys going to Golden Point before they wanted to, you know, promote their game and build it up and make sure that the 50-odd thousand went there and there wasn't no whinging about, you know, the Broncos had an eight-day turnaround. We only had a six-day. It's not fair. There was none of that. They go there. The players, even though it's a high intensity and they're so competitive, there's no pushing, there's no shoving, there's nothing like that. And they go there and they have a crack. They hit each other. So, I tell you what, I actually thought that it was going to be a blowout score. But, you know, Marto, we know about sport. Every time you build something up, you know, to be something, it always lets you down. But
what a game.
That game doesn't. That game doesn't.
And what about your lemons then, Gordy? Who's your lemons?
Well, they've changed the rule to a shoulder charge because I thought that Jason Tamalolo hit someone and he knocked him straight over, but he hit him square like he was facing him. And, you know, like there's a difference between a shoulder charge because you turn side on and you bend down and you sort of brace yourself and your arm doesn't leave your side.
Yeah.
Well, he sort of bent his back to hit him. But because he's so big and the bloke left his feet, you know, and then now that guy's going to miss 2 weeks and he can't win the Dally M. Just over one tackle, and he didn't hit him high. He hit him around the shoulders.
Will he get 2 weeks for that, will he?
Well, that's what he's... I think that's what he's facing.
Oh,
no. Hey, Gordy.
Yeah, the fans, I mean, so the fans lose when he didn't hit him in the head. It wasn't foul play. He just hit him way too hard.
Hey, Gordy, that voice of yours, is that because you've been screaming like a banshee all weekend, or did you have a big night?
Well, it's a bit of everything. Going in the Golden Point, Robin, getting really excited.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it's like to get excited.
Yes.
Okay. And you know what? And we did have a couple of beers. So.
Okay.
So
checking.
It is a bit of both, but like it is getting back into the season and talking for 6 hours yesterday.
It's a long time.
Let me say, Arbo, of course, mate, it's nice to have the footy wrapped up on a Sunday night. I used to think I was going to miss Monday night footy. It's good to have it finished.
Yeah, but you know what? It comes down to ratings, and I don't know how Thursday night's going because I'm not one of those guys that sort of think about ratings because I don't, because you just go there and do your job, and if you're doing a good job and people like it, well, that's fair enough, but I know that we all work on ratings, Marto. But you know, I just sort of roll it. We do, don't we? We always get moved on if the ratings are bad. But this show's rating unbelievable right now. Yes.
Hey. Okay, Gordy.
Well done.
We'll let you go. We'll catch you during the week, mate.
Thank you very much. Friday. Well,
yeah, mate.
To you Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
We'll work
that
out.
Give us a buzz.
All right. Who's got a retirement plan? Robin, you got a retirement plan?
No, mate. I just want to make it till next week.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. I don't have any
superannuation because I've always worked for...
Don't you?
I've always been a contractor. I've got nothing.
Well, you would from here. You'd get super from this. And you've been here for 400...
I'm a contractor.
Oh.
I'm a contractor.
What about you, Ed?
he gets paid in timber and paint.
that is true.
And beer.
I'll be honest with you. I have started really thinking about it because all I ever read is stories like this one. Ready? This is in Courier Mail today. If you're retired and renting, you'll need more than $1 million to live out your life comfortably. I'll say that again. Mm. They've said if you're retired and you're renting, you don't own a house, you're going to need $1 million to live out your life comfortably.
So to stay in the rental property that you're in and after you've retired.
Yes, and to have income and live comfortably.
What is living comfortably?
Well, they don't go into that in terms of, you know, putting
That's not eating pet food and stuff.
No, I think it's probably staying within. Well, I'm guessing that it's staying living the lifestyle that
you're
going
to the bolo twice a week for dinner. Yeah.
But also, who can afford pet food these days? I mean, fancy feasts.
It's got all the protein in it. $1 million. If you're renting, so. What do you need $1 million for?
Keep just going with the lifestyle. Mind you, they are saying that they're taking it that everyone's going to live till 92.
I'm no chance. See, that's the thing. Get stuffed with your $1 million. I'm not living till I'm 90.
You don't want to. I would imagine that you're going to do something outrageous when you retire.
No. Oh, God, yeah. I'll start wood turning. Like, do you need any fruit bowls, Robin? Like, I'll never retire. I won't be able to retire and I don't want to. What would you do?
what about
you'll brew your own beer. I'll brew my own beer. And there's one cost gone. And then just, I don't know, retire to the shed and someone will go, what is he up to down there? And I'll come bursting out and I'll go to the markets. I'll be drunk. But I'll be going to the markets and selling my wares.
What a plan.
There is nothing you can't add to that.
Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M.
Marto, Ed and Robin's Best of Brisbane.
Has there been a sector that's grown as much as markets have in Brisbane in the last 10 years? It has just exploded. Yeah. There is a market every single suburb, I reckon.
Yeah. And it's all like fresh and farmers and et cetera, et cetera. You know, you go and buy fresh produce. getting easier and easier to go and find a market and all sorts of people brewing their own and making their own this and that. So what is Brisbane's best market? Rachel from Everton, which one would you like to nominate?
Oh, I'm going to nominate Redcliffe as the best market on a Sunday.
Where is it? Where's the Redcliffe one?
Redcliffe's right on the main street there, right at the, you know, at the sort of main part of the Redcliffe area, right on, I think it's Scarborough Street, it could be, I don't know, but it's just so good. It's got a bit of everything. It's got a little band, that different band playing every Sunday, and then you've always got the lagoon to go to or go down for a swim after or whatever. Righto. So it's really good for the kids and that too, you know?
Yeah, all right. No, that's good. You can feed them breakfast
in
the morning on a Sunday.
I hope lots of people vote for it. It does sound good. What about Les from Browns Plains? You're the one. This one's an interesting one.
Or Lee. Hello, Lee.
Was it Lee? Not Les, sorry.
Yeah. The Rocklea markets on a Saturday and a Sunday. Saturday, you got the fruit and veg. Sunday, you got the bric-a-brac. And, you know, you never know what you're going to find there.
It's incredible. It is incredible on a Sunday. You, fair dinkum, you can get anything in the whole world.
Oh, really?
If you need something, if you want something and you can't find it at Rocklea on a Sunday, then, you know, you didn't really need
it. Doesn't exist, does it?
That's a good one.
Okay, this Saturday's good for plants, too. On Saturday morning, the Rocklea markets for plants and flowers.
Got
everything. See, this is what we're finding out. You can get everything. Okay, who's up next?
Cassandra of Mount Cravat.
Hello.
Hi, which market are you nominating?
Oh, it has to be West End at Davie Street by far.
Why? Why by far?
Because it's on the river under the fig trees. Awesome coffee, music, you can get a massage, curry puff.
Cassandra, just talk about that massage. Do you need a massage at the markets? Look, it's a bit weird walking past and someone's getting their shoulders done.
Oh, well, if they give you a good massage, you wouldn't even notice the sole around.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. And you can do that eyebrow. What's that called? The new eyebrow thing that they do instead of waxing? Threading.
Threading.
You can do threading there.
Threading. Yes. Yeah, there's indigenous artwork, clothes. Yeah, you can't beat it.
Have you ever had anyone shape up to a blue? That's what happened to me there one day. Some homeless bloke came from nowhere and just took a set against me. Has that ever happened to you?
Took a set?
Yeah, he fronted me and wanted to have a blue one Saturday.
Motto's asking if you've ever...
that's never happened to me.
No. Yeah, Motto's asking if a homeless man's ever tried to fight you. That's a topic for another day.
It was the fisherman's hat, Marto.
That's not the market's fault that a homeless man accosted you either. That's,
West End Davies Park Markets is a beauty.
And they're nominated. Congratulations. TripleM.com.au. We will get the poll up, but we have to take nominations more. You can do that on Facebook, Triple M Brisbane. Coming. And you can call us all day as well, 133353. What is Brisbane's best market? We will have a winner by Friday.
Someone from Mitchelton ring up. You know you've got a good one there. Oh,
Mitchelton
Blackwood
Markets.
Road.
What about that alliteration? Yeah. Well,
right. Want to talk about the Golden Point on Friday night? 52,000 people? At
47.
47?
What a game.
It was chockers.
What an amazing game again. Fourth time in the last 18 months or so they have gone to Golden Point. God, that's good. And how good was Thursday? Like, fair to him. He's a Brisbane boy, keeps breaking our hearts.
Yeah. But he was hard to get hold of, Robin. I didn't see any much chat with him after the game. But then we got a text from you over the weekend saying that you had somehow got hold of Jonathan Thurston for an exclusive interview.
Well, I was taking my mother-in-law to the airport with my three sons. She's gone down to Melbourne for a couple of weeks and she just needed a bit of a hand because she's 80 and she just needed to get onto the plane. And as we're waiting and she's gone Jetstar, my boys look over and went, oh, my God, Mum, there's the Cowboys. And I said, okay. And they said, there's JT.
What was Tamalolo wearing?
I didn't know.
How big's Tamalolo?
Yeah, Cowboys outfit.
Was Thumper all right, Matt Scott?
Well, okay, look, just work with me here because, I'm not great with my rugby league at the best of times. Sorry. And normally when I do really big interviews, like people when I've done Meryl Streep or Pink or John Bon Jovi, I've had a fair bit of time to think about it and research it.
Just quickly. Is Jonathan Thurston bigger than Meryl Streep? I think so.
I was going to say, I know who I would rather speak to.
Yes.
Why did I say her name?
Yeah.
Anyway, with the kids' Dutch courage behind me, I went up and I said, hey, JT.
Oh, wow.
You know, Robin from Triple M, can I have a quick chat? And he goes, mate, I've not done any interviews this morning. I've said no to everyone.
Oh,
and I said, but I'm standing in front of you and you're just about to board. I'll only take 90 seconds.
Okay.
So, bless him. He said yes.
JT, you broke Brisbane's heart last night.
Yeah, I'm lucky.
Although you are laughing all the way to Townsville.
Yeah, so it's been a long time since we've had a win at Suncorp, so it's nice to finally get one over them.
How were you feeling in that moment? The whole of the stadium was on absolute tender hooks in that golden point. How were you going? What was going on in your head?
Yeah, just trying to keep the boys calm and making sure that we got through doing our job. And, you know, I was very proud of our young boys last night. They really stood up. You know, I couldn't be more proud of the boys, the way that they were resilient, building that character that you need to win games.
A few injured though.
Yeah, it's come at a cost, obviously, so I'm sure if we continue to apply ourselves the way that we did last night, then we'll give ourselves the opportunity of winning games.
So does this mean Cowboys in the grand final? I know it's very early in the season.
I'm not saying that. We just want to be competitive each week. We've had obviously a tough start to the year to back-to-back Golden Point games. You know, that's a good team building. And, you know, the boys will take a lot of confidence out of it. Like I said, our young boys are starting to understand what it takes to win tough games and grind out games, so it's a step in the right direction for us.
Are you sore?
Very. Self-inflicted, though.
Big night, JT. Have you been to bed?
I have been to bed, but like I said, we haven't won at Suncorp for a long time, so we made the most of it.
Oh, Robin Bailey.
Oh, that's
okay,
nice.
Okay, but you know what's so funny, right? Okay, so there's no mention of any other players because I really wasn't confident as to who else is in the Cowboys. And by the third question, I was asking how he was feeling.
Yeah, that's all right. That's a good way of... That's
where was that plane going?
What? The
one in the background. I was trying to listen to that as well. It was.
Well, my mother-in-law's plane was going to Melbourne and the Cowboys plane was going off, obviously, back to Townsville.
It was probably just an announcement to say that Tiger flights had been cancelled.
Yes,
I received an email from someone who said that they desperately want to get on radio. Now, most of us get those every now and again. Mm-hmm.
From Bachelorette contestants.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But this one was from a guy called Tenzin who has a bit of a story and a great reason for wanting to be on the radio. So, guys, this is Tenzin. He's come into the studio.
Hello, mate.
How you doing?
Tenzin.
So, Tenzin, why do you want to be on air? Why do you want to be on the radio?
Well, basically, I was born with a condition commonly referred to as fluid on the brain. And as part of that condition, it's where everyone's brain floats in fluid. And you're constantly creating and getting rid of excess. I can create, but I can't get rid of the excess naturally. So I need a device in my head called a shunt, which acts like a drain or a pump.
That sounds logical.
So it monitors how much I need, how much to get rid of.
And where does it get rid of it to?
Well, normally it would drain into the spinal column, but with me, it actually drains into my stomach.
Oh. Whoa. Yeah. And then what, you excrete it like we would normally excrete fluid?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
What incredible medical technology. And how does it lead? Do you feel it, Tenzin, or is it just something that goes about your daily life, you don't notice it anymore?
No, basically I don't notice it unless there can be blockages, things like that. And in the cases like that, I do get headaches.
But for like playing sport and like all that type of thing, does it affect that?
Yeah, it does. There's no chance. Because basically, as a byproduct of this condition, it's left me with optic nerve damage, which is gradually getting worse to the point where I've been told by the time I'm 40, I'll basically be blind, more than likely. And I also have been left partially paralyzed in my entire left-hand side.
And so this is for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Okay, well, all those things, you can still do radio because you can still talk.
Yeah, well, and basically, as I was saying in the email, I'm sort of creating a bucket list sort of thing of things I want to do before I lose my vision.
What else have you done on that list?
Got to see Kiss a couple of years ago, which blew my mind.
Oh, righto.
That was huge.
How many items on your list?
A lot. Because I've sort of been diagnosed with brain lesions and a few other bits and pieces, so I do have brain damage. So schooling was never a great possibility for me. I always struggled at school.
So it's been going on forever, this.
Yeah. I'm 36 now. And
Okay, so
Or did you write an email to every radio show in Brisbane?
No, I'm a massive fan of Triple M, always have been.
Righto.
So, you guys were it.
Okay, well, you're here. and
yeah,
you're
what
in
do you
it,
got?
And yeah, and you and we've moved Brendo out, who's now just circling like a caged panther around the side of the studio.
There's an old saying in media: never let anyone put your headphones on.
Yeah, never take a holiday.
Yeah, I walk around with mine all day.
So you're on, you know, because Marto, Ed, and I stand on the other side, away from the buttons, because there's a really good reason for that.
Don't they trust you?
Nah. And Marto keeps turning himself off regardless.
I've only got one button and somehow I keep hitting it anyway.
Yeah, I heard that this morning. That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he turns his mic on. He's got a way of turning his mic. He sort of self-senses. You know what I mean?
It's not a good business to be a fidgeter in.
You got the whole desk in front of you. If you got a button you could push, just, you know, do a Marto. Push a button in front of you. Let's see what happens.
Are we ready for this?
Okay. Go on.
Oh, the Tommy Radonica's button. Well played.
It's the Tommy Radonica's hot button. All right,
Tim. Give us another one.
All right.
That's
class. Why
am I laughing? That's classy.
Triple. Three sons.
You've got three
that's
sons. You hear that enough.
I need to do one more. Go on.
All right.
That is horrific.
Oh, that's
well played.
And New Zealand hot buttons. Excellent work at Tencent. So that's very good. That's actually quite good. You could have got a job as sound effects on the Hey Hey Saturday.
Oh, yeah,
Murray Tregonic. Good on you, Tencent. Nice to have you with us. And I'm sure you'll be hearing some more Tencent on the AMSIS. Good on you, mate.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.